Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the regular City Council meeting, July 22nd, 2024. We'll call this to order. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website on slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting. Due to technical difficulties, unfortunately, we do not have the call-in available this evening. We are working on that, however. As we start the new fiscal year, we've made a change to the order of the agenda and have moved public communications on items not on tonight's agenda that are within the jurisdiction of the council to be heard after the regular business agenda items. So now, if everyone would please rise and join me in the flag salute. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you. City Clerk Sims, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Councilmember Weirich.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor Bright.
I'm here. Thank you. We'll move on to closed session announcements. City Attorney Lomeli, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, there were no reportable actions taken during closed session.
Thank you. We'll move on now to agenda review. If any of council members have any questions or changes that you would like to make? No? No? Okay, very good. If not, would someone please make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
I can make that motion. So moved.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed. Very good. We have nothing on our ceremonial calendar. No presentations. So now we'll move right on to... Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. Where's our... Do we have a... Ma'am? Ma'am? We are not. It is not. Please sit down. Very good. Thank you. We'll move on to the consent agenda. The following routine items listed on the consent portion of the agenda are scheduled for consideration as a group. I will open public comment for the consent agenda. So I have Brenda Auer for item one. Thank you.
I'm getting my notes together, but it threw us a whammy. So point of order. My friend Gabino is here to speak to you tonight, and it is on a financial matter. I'd like to ask the council tonight to put on the future agenda some type of compensation to the property owner of 750 West Grand. Gabino's here in the audience tonight, thinking he could talk, but apparently he has to wait until the end of the meeting because the rules have been changed or something. Please, Gabino has fed me for over 20 years, and many of you. It is not right to take away his ability to make a living. His business has been blocked for many, many days. Many days.
Mayor?
Yes?
This should be addressed this evening.
He needs to be addressing items that are on the consent agenda.
Please compensate his family now. What I would like to know about the treasurer's report.
Thank you.
Is, where's my treasurer report note? The treasury checks. Who signed the treasury checks from January 2023 to March of 2024? Does the person who signs the treasury report also sign the checks? And who oversees this? I have a couple other questions about the treasury report, but I'm not going to go into them. I really think that it's not right that we can't have public comment and we have
to
sit and wait until the end to be heard. Thank you.
Thank
God bless you.
other items. Brenda Auer, item 4 on the consent agenda.
Consent agenda, item 4. I would like to know a little bit more about this. I thought there might be a presentation. I tried to kind of research it on the agenda site, but it was very difficult. I'm having a hard time also finding some actual resolutions that I will request, but, oh, good Lord. I want to know on item 4, how much is going to be put aside for, I believe I saw 17 years of these, the taxation instead of it being paid right away. And for the infrastructure, like the fire department that it lists, who's going to be paying for that for those 17 years that this payment's deferred? I'd like to understand it more, and maybe somebody will explain it before you all vote on it tonight, because I think it's an important question. Does that go back to the general fund to pay? Am I going to pay for it? Some of these are about developers. Well, in 17 years, they'll have recouped their money. Remember, I'm in real estate. Lots of questions here. So please, council members, ask to have this reviewed and give a little bit more detail so we understand it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would like to say regarding this, this is a first reading. Just to introduce the ordinance, at our next regular scheduled meeting, we will have a full-blown presentation, so you can come with your questions at that time. Okay, we're looking at the consent agenda. Let me read the items for you. Treasurer's report for the period June 1 through June 30. Treasurer's report for the 2022 streets bond account. Minutes of the City Council meeting for Monday, June 24th. Item 4, introduction and first reading of an ordinance to repeal and replace Article 10, Chapter 13 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code and establish a development impact fee deferral program. 5, professional services agreement for the purchase and implementation of OpenGov asset management software. Resolution to appropriate stormwater development impact fee funds for West Grand Avenue streetscape. Item 7, appointments to the Planning Commission. Item 8, approval of Amendment 1 to cooperative agreement with San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. 9, resolution to amend the Service Employees International Union of Memorandum of Understanding for 24 through 27. Item 10, resolution to amend executive management and confidential employee compensation for 24 through 27. 11, resolution to amend the Grover Beach Police Management and Confidential Group Memorandum of Understanding for 24-27. Item 12, resolution accepting the certification of the elections official as to the sufficiency of signatures on the petition to recall Councilmember Daniel Rushing, District 2. So those are the consent items. We have no other public comment, so I will close the public comment for the consent agenda and ask my colleagues. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to pull item 10.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Nothing else for me. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I don't think I need to pull item 12, but if we are taking this group as a whole, I will be abstaining from that vote.
Okay. So I'm not exactly sure. How would we do that? Would he just abstain from? No. How would we do that?
Yeah. So Councilmember Rushing can vote to approve the consent agenda, but simply note on the official minutes that he will be abstaining from item 12. So however he decides to vote on the consent items, but noting that he is abstaining from item 12.
Okay.
Are
you good with that?
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. So then, if there are no other changes, if I could get a motion to adopt items 1 through 12 with the exception of 10, please.
Yes, I can make that motion for you.
Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes, with an abstention for item 12.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Bright.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, so let's go to item 10, please. This is a resolution to amend executive management and management and confidential employee compensation for 24-27.
Yeah, so for me, I want to ask for a couple different changes within this item. Is almost all of our employee groups are completed by the action just taken on consent. We still have others that aren't, though. And there's a couple distinct things that when I noticed as far as executive management, and that's different than management and confidential, there's kind of really two different categories. So I would want to see them separated into basically two different items. Now, for management confidential, I'm happy with that moving forward tonight, too. But there's kind of a message, too, that if our executive management, which is the top six positions, you know, within our city government, to have them be there when all the employee groups are finalized. I think there's a certain message and stuff in leadership that we're saying is if we have the executive management completed before, you know, a lot of the rank and file are done too. So that basically the two actions I'm looking for is that they're separated and we approve, you know, within the item two management and confidential, and then postpone an item on the executive management part only until all the final employee groups.
Until
are on
the yes. POA. Is approved.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
Okay. Well, it makes sense. I know that we've never separated it before, but up to, is there any discussion from?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. On this particular item, as you mentioned, Mayor, it's our standard practice to bring the management resolutions all together. We have three different groups, executive management, management confidential, and police management. When we have one or both of our employee MOUs ready to go, and we have SEIU ready, as you've just approved, we're very close with POA, but not quite there yet for tonight. So from a staff perspective, we would have no issue if this council wanted to delay the executive management resolution until we were finalized with POA, which we believe would be over the next month.
Okay. All right. Well, any other conversation about this?
No, I'm fine with that delay.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we could just have an explanation as to why this landed on the consent agenda and wasn't found in the closed session negotiations like the unions that we have been working with over the last few months.
Council member, I'm not in a position to discuss closed session topic areas because we have... we have covered all the different management groups as part of our closed session agenda items previously, both in the noticing and in the conversation. Ultimately, what's before the council are cost of living adjustments and other economics regarding the management positions, not related to equity adjustments or other specific items going forward. So this is a kind of comprehensive list of compensation items similar to previous cycles in 2021 and 2017 in covering all of our different employee groups.
Okay. I guess this will be a motion. Do you want to make a motion and we'll go that
Mayor,
way?
Mayor, yes. prior to moving for a motion, because the item was pulled off of consent, you will need to open it back up to the public for comment.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. So item 10, I didn't have any speaker slips for it. See no one rushing the podium. We will then bring it back to council.
And the only question I have to you, just so it's, you know, clear within staff's implementation, what do you suggest is the best way to break apart the motion, since obviously most of the item, you know, was geared towards both of them? I see it as far as, you know, the staff items, you know, within the report, that it's pretty simple just to strike executive management and those parts out of it. But I just want to make sure that it's done in a way that meets all the crosses all the T's, dots all the I's.
So just to confirm, you were wanting to approve the MOU with the exception of the executive group?
Yes. So then, the rest of them in there.
So then the motion would need to include approval of an amended resolution mm-hmm. that strikes the management group from said resolution.
And just for clarity, it's the executive management group. It would just focus on management confidential with this agenda item.
Okay.
Okay. So in that case, let me just double check the verbiage on that. So it looks like So I move to adopt the resolution amending the classification compensation plan for executive management and confidential employees with the amendment to this of removing executive management from the language.
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Would this be a roll call?
Yes.
Okay. If we may have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Weyrich?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Okay.
And then would I make a separate motion, too, as far as having the item just executive management be brought back at a future item when all the employee groups are resolved, or is that clear from earlier discussion?
That's clear from council direction, so staff would follow that with hopefully being able to bring it back on the August 26th agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Alrighty then. And we'll move on to our first public hearing. This is item 13 for anyone who's counting. This is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance repealing and replacing Chapter 5, which is Animal Regulations, of Article 3, Public Welfare, Morals, and Conduct of the Grover Beach Municipal Code, and approval of Amendment Number 1 to the Contract for Animal Care and Control Services with the County of San Luis Obispo. And this is Assistant City Manager Erickson.
Yeah, it is. Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. I'm here to just talk a little bit about our animal regulations enforcement, which, as you know, we largely handle through the county with their services contract, although we do have enforcement capabilities ourselves as a city. Our first animal regulations ordinance was adopted in 1970, and we've made periodic updates to the ordinance, including several to align with the county's Title IX regulations, and that is because we have the overlapping services with the county. In 2023, all of the cities that are working with the county and the county together developed a new and updated Title IX to align all enforcement regulations to one another. As part of that conversation, the county has asked that we now update our codes, each of the cities, to have consistent enforcement across the county. If minor updates are made to Title IX in the future, our code would then, by reference, adopt those changes. However, as part of the MOU, the county is making sure that they would have to talk to all of the cities if they made a substantive change to Title IX, and we could, at that point, exempt anything that we did not want to adopt as a city. Most of our partner agencies have adopted county Title IX as part of their codes, and it does not remove our local authority to enforce our existing other pieces of our code, including noise and other ordinances. So once again, we are just being asked by the county to preserve Title IX within our code. And then we are amending the MOU with the county to request that they preserve the remains of any animal involved in an incident that causes harm within this city. That is to prevent the county from destroying animal remains that we may need for investigation purposes. So that's a minor amendment to that MOU there.
Okay.
And so our recommendation is to adopt county's Title IX within our code, and that will be a repeal and replace of our existing animal welfare code. And then we're also asking that your council approve amendment number 1 to the MOU with the county for their services.
Very good. Thank you.
And I'm available for questions.
Excellent. I'll start to my right. Any questions? Is that a no?
No.
Okay. No. To my left?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Very good. All right, then. We'll now open the public hearing. I don't have any speaker slips for this item, and I don't see anyone rushing to the podium. So we'll close the public hearing. And any comments from council? Okay. Then if someone might make a motion.
Sure. I'll move to approve Amendment number 1 to the Contract for Animal Care and Control Services of County of San Luis Obispo, and also the adoption of Ordinance Repealing and Replacing Chapter 5, Animal Regulations of Article 3, Public Welfare, Morals, and Conduct of the Grover Beach Municipal Code.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Weyrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yep.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, move on to item 14. This is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to add a new section 2801 to Chapter 8, which is purchasing policy of Article 2, Administration, of the Grover Beach Municipal Code to allow the City Council to delegate signature authority. Assistant City Manager Erickson.
Me again. So our purchasing policy was adopted by your council last year. It does provide the city manager specified signature authorities within it. However, it does not specifically specify that the council is able to delegate signature authority if the mayor is required to sign under city seal. That was pointed out to us by HCD in February. The council authorized the city manager to sign all of the documentation surrounding an application for a CDBG grant for the Ramona Garden Park project. They let us know that because our code does not specifically say the council can do that, there would need to be a resolution by the council in addition to that delegation of authority. We propose adding a section 2801 to the purchasing policy in the code just to specify that the council indeed can delegate that additional authority without that additional action. And this is really just to streamline our processes as we make these applications. And with that, fastest hearing in our history, I believe, I am available for any questions.
Very good. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Then we'll open the public hearing. I, again, have no speaker slips for this item. I see no one coming to the podium, so we'll close public hearing. And any other questions up here? If not, we're ready for a motion.
I can make that motion to approve item 14 as presented, the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to add a new section 2801 to Chapter 8 of Article 2 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code to allow City Council to delegate signature authority.
Very good. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Weyrich.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Bright.
Yes. Very good. We'll move on to now item 15, which is a second reading and adoption of an ordinance to amend Article 3, Public Welfare, Morals, and Conduct, Chapter 11, Special Events, Outdoor Assemblies of the Grover Beach Municipal Code to change special event insurance requirements. Assistant City Manager Erickson.
This is my last one, I promise. So our insurance requirements as currently in the code for special events with larger numbers is set forth in Article 3 of our code, and it requires that organizers submit proof of liability coverage for the event to receive a permit. Currently, our code requires $1 million for every 500 attendees, so it escalates each time that goes up. This is the highest amount in the county, as we did our research on that, and we're finding that it's very difficult for organizations to meet those coverage requirements. So what we are looking at here and what we would be proposing is that we get a little more in line with our sister cities where they have $1 million per occurrence and $2 million in the aggregate. Ours would still be slightly more conservative to be protective of the larger events that we have within the city at $2 million for each on the higher levels of attendees. This, we hope, will speed up permit approvals because we have seen organizations get waylaid in trying to find anyone that would give them that level of coverage for a single event, and hopefully would promote more events within the city as we make it easier and more streamlined to process. So our recommendation is that you adopt an amendment to our Public Welfare, Morals, and Conduct Code to slightly lower our requirements for special event insurance. And I'm available for questions once again.
Very good. Questions? To my left.
I'd ask one quick one. What was the decision to not fall in line with the other cities and to keep those bigger gatherings at that higher level?
Yeah, I think it was just the idea was that it would be kind of a drastic drop. And we are finding that when we looked to insurers, we did poll insurers and also some of our larger event organizers. And this is completely doable within their coverage limits.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's all for me.
No questions? Okay. So then I will now open the public hearing. I don't have any speaker slips, and I see no one rushing to the podium. So I will now close the public hearing. And council members, if you have any comments?
Yeah, I'll just make a quick one. And I appreciate staff bringing this to us because when I talked to a lot of different organizations, nonprofit and for-profit too, that the insurance industry has changed drastically where it's hard for them to get so many different things now, and it's good to see that this isn't going to be the big barrier to them too, because obviously we like having a lot of activity within our city, and people enjoy the recreation too. So I'm grateful that you all, whatever it took and stuff that got it to us, made that happen. So I want to express that appreciation.
Thank you.
I would suggest that we fall in line with other cities. Just I would never want to see a case where, you know, somebody's looking at an event down here in South County and they see that the insurance rates in Pismo or AG are, you know, much less for those larger size events. So I just wonder, I don't have a good sample size as far as how much we are, you know, up for grabs or missing out or anything as far as that. I don't know what the cost benchmarks are differently, but just wondering if we could have a small discussion about that, if staff has any of those numbers in front of them. Or any opinions up here?
So I think if I can bring up the chart from before. So I think at the higher level, other cities are asking for $1 million in the aggregate and then $2 million for general liability. We are currently at $2 million for both on the higher end. With this reso, it would be $2 million for both, yeah. So we would be $1 million higher than the other cities we polled.
Do you have an idea what the ballpark cost to an event organizer, the difference is between that?
I don't know, and it depends on the insurer they shop with, their own credit ratings, their level of experience, all of that would be into consideration. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
And maybe to that point, as far as the second tier, how often have we had, you know, those kind of events that people have done too? Because I get the sense that they're, you know, far and fewer than, and that's why it's still put this way too. But I'm interested in what Councilmember Zimmerman's asking too.
Yeah, I think in recent history the only event that would fall under this would be Stone Soup, put on by the Clark Center. And we did speak to the Clark Center specifically about these proposed changes, and they felt that they could meet these requirements.
Okay. Any other questions or comments, I should say? Okay, well, I'm comfortable with keeping it the way it is for the higher usage. But, okay, so then we'll just go forward at this, and we can always revisit it later, I suppose, if we do realize that this is a concern or it's just something that can't move forward. Okay, very good. So now then, we need a motion.
I'll go ahead and make that motion to adopt ordinance to amend Article 3, Chapter 11 of Grover Beach Municipal Code to change special event insurance requirements.
I'll second it.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
No. These have to pass unanimously, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Mayor Bright.
Yes. Very good. Thank you very much. We will move on now to regular business. Item 16, Community Development Block Grant Micro Enterprise Assistance Program Guidelines. And this is Community Development Director Martin and Associate Planner Reese. Hello.
Good evening. In 2012, the city began participating as a non-entitlement community to receive community development block grants, also known as CDBG, from the State Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD. These funds are used to support low to moderate income housing needs and other LMI eligible activities. One of those eligible activities includes programs or projects relating to economic development. To receive CDBG funds, the activity must meet one of the above on your screen national objectives. Historically, the city's qualified projects and programs under the benefit to LMI persons or businesses. And again, LMI, the acronym stands for low to moderate income households. Over the last year, I've observed a number of businesses, little more than a handful, that have shown interest in different lease spaces along West Grand Avenue. However, for that business to move in, certain tenant improvements may be required, whether it be accessible bathrooms, whether it be energy upgrades, et cetera. But those then trigger additional building code requirements that can be cost prohibitive for that business owner to move in. Staff believes that the city may be eligible for the state's economic development component under what's known as a micro-enterprise assistance program. A micro enterprise assistance program is a component of the CDBG program that focuses on providing financial assistance and support to micro enterprise businesses. The program typically offers low interest loans, grants, or a combination of both to eligible businesses. And the city would pursue or could pursue an application for those low interest loans. The hope is that this program could help to alleviate the financial burden that we see as we lose potential tenants to our businesses across the city. So the state provides up to $1.5 million for an OTC, or over-the-counter, assistance program. You'll notice the city will only request through an application to the state $1.05 million. That's because the most recent NOFA, 2024 NOFA, limits the maximum grant award for over-the-counter permits to $3.3 million. And as you may or may not remember, but for the benefit of the public, on June 24th, this council directed staff to pursue the Ramona Garden Park Phase 3 improvements under an over-the-counter permit. So the two of those, when added together, $3.3 million. Over-the-counter programs must be fully developed, in other words, shovel-ready, in an effort for the state to streamline review and approval of those applications and to qualify projects or programs for grant funding. As such, this evening, staff request your council's review and concurrence with the following eligible criteria. The first is that a business must demonstrate that they are an LMI business owner, that they are a micro-enterprise business, that's five or fewer employees, and that includes the owner. We would apply this citywide. However, we would limit it. We would not allow nonprofit organizations, nor would we allow any application that would trigger the need for what's called a use permit. There's both timing constraints to this, as well as CDBG through HCD. CDBG does not prioritize projects for entitlements. They prioritize physical improvements to projects. We would also prohibit any businesses in the cannabis industry or adult entertainment. This is also falls in line with the use permit requirements. Typically, those require a use permit to move into a tenant space. And lastly, should we receive more applications than funding allows, preference would be given to businesses that best align with the city's economic development goals. If successful, this program would help to fund specific improvements that staff has seen be the most cost prohibitive. We would recommend that applications be submitted in an amount not to exceed $50,000. Business owners may apply for improvements, including energy efficiency upgrades like insulation, HVAC, windows, lighting, plumbing enhancements, repairs or upgrades, accessibility improvements, which may also provide for bathroom upgrades to provide for accessibility, fire suppression and safety systems. Fire sprinklers has been a really big prohibitor to folks moving into businesses along West Grand. Lastly, we would apply a list of ineligible activities, beautification or finishing projects such as painting, decorative elements, or signage. So this evening, staff is seeking your council's concurrence with the program guidelines that I've referenced here as part of this presentation. Next steps would be that staff, once we receive that concurrence or additional recommendations, staff would pursue a request for proposals from qualified loan officers, specifically qualified in the CDBG Economic Development Program. We would then return to council for your council to adopt the state-prepared resolutions for the 2024 CDBG NOFA application. This would include the over-the-counter program that I've described this evening, the over-the-counter project, Phase 3 Ramona Garden Park improvements, as well as the competitive program in the amount of $300,000 for the non-congregate shelter navigation center that's operated by Five Cities Homeless Coalition. This concludes staff's presentation, and I am happy to bring back up the eligibility criteria for your council's consideration and discussion.
Thank you. I'll start with questions to my left, if there are any.
I was wondering if we could touch on a couple of the eligibility things. And thank you, by the way, for bringing this back so thoroughly and so quickly. I know this was kind of an idea that got floated a meeting or two ago, and now there is a full deep dive, and I appreciate that. So wondering about the exclusion of nonprofits in this criteria, for one, and then I'll just do them one at a time. They're two quick ones.
I'd also welcome Associate Planner Reese to provide any additional feedback. However, the reason why we decided to suggest that nonprofit organizations not be included is that they are otherwise eligible for other financial grants and loans through the state. So we wanted to open this up to as many businesses as possible that would not otherwise qualify for business loans or grants in the amount that we would otherwise be able to provide.
Sure. And then the other one was the ineligible list of improvements on the second page there. And just wondering, with the recent sign ordinance implementation and things like that, and kind of those rules getting a little more stricter and more expensive for local businesses, wondering how those things that are essentially required under the sign ordinance in some ways fell under the ineligible side of things. I wonder if in both those cases we could kind of move them down the priority list, you know, and everything else gets addressed first, and then maybe if there's some other applicants that fall into one of those two groups, if by chance there was any funding left, I wonder if we could kind of consider a second round or something along those lines. Would be where my thought process goes.
But, absolutely. Yeah. This was just a starting point recommendation. If your council decides that that's something that you would like us to consider, staff is more than happy to add that to the program guidelines for consideration. Part of why we made this list more specifically as ineligible is that staff felt that the beautification activities were the responsibility of the property owner and should not be burdened by the business owner. The business owner typically bears the weight of financing the interior improvements to the tenant space. We felt that these activities should be more burdened on the property owner itself than the business owner trying to locate here and create an environment that our general plan and our West Grand Avenue's master plan is seeking to create.
Sure.
May I ask a question on that? Mm-hmm. So the building owner wouldn't do the signage, would they? Wouldn't that be the responsibility of the business owner?
No, absolutely. Okay. I just mean, apologies, that isn't very clear.
Okay.
But yes, but this list was intended to kind of be more of what the property owner may be responsible for.
I see.
Typically, when we receive signage applications, it's through authorization of the property owner. How that cost is how that cost is weighed between the property owner and the business owner is between them, but this
okay.
was just more generally speaking, we wanted to make sure that we eliminated any activities, made ineligible any activities that we felt the property owner should be burdened on.
Gotcha. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Okay. Any other questions to my left? To my right? Questions?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. One of them is just more for people to understand. So for when it, on the report where it says next steps, pursue request for proposal, hire contract staff, and then the notes as far as the years of experience related to underwriting, you know, plus 2 years general CDBG experience, kind of what's the rationale behind that too? I understand this is very specialized work, but others might not understand.
I would actually ask our Associate Planner Reese to provide clarification, but this is a specific requirement by the state, so by through HCD. It was not something that staff intended to implement. In fact, I would rather it not be a requirement. It makes it more difficult to identify a qualified individual to pursue this type of work. But otherwise, if you have anything to add, my response is that it's a requirement by the state. It's not something that staff provided as part of the program guidelines.
Gotcha.
Thank you. And then on the staff report where it goes into the eligibility criteria, and for number 6, the preference is given to businesses that best align with the city's economic development goals, including public serving businesses, e.g. retailer services, manufacturing businesses. I did want to ask, when staff makes the determination of what best alignment means, what does that look like? I know West Grand's been a priority too, but we have businesses on 4th Street, 13th Street, Farrell, different locations that aren't always talked about too much, like the industrial area too, where I know at the last meeting where I was like, well, I think, yes, let's not stick to people doing home improvements off this money. That's not what it should be intended for. But since, like I said, we don't talk about a lot of businesses throughout the entire city, and I want to make sure that they're not seen as not best aligned either. So I'm trying to understand what that looks like on the staff side when this is actually implemented.
Absolutely. So fortunately, this, if we were awarded these grants, this would apply citywide. And our city has an adopted general plan, which identifies for each zoning designation policies as to how we want to see those zones develop over time. We also have the West Grand Avenue master plan, which further supports what we want to see along West Grand Avenue, specific to the districts along it, whether it's visitor serving or retail. So we would utilize our general plan to help guide us in what types of businesses would be preferable within each of those zones. So that what's outlined in our industrial zoning district, those policies in place would be applied to to preferential applications. Same for those that would be in central business open or in the retail commercial area that's closer to Oak Park. So it really, just depending on what our general plan applies as where we're wanting to see the community grow over time, that's how we would provide that that preference. This is also why we want to bring in a CDBG qualified loan officer who has experience with identifying how that scoring criteria could be applied to eligible applications. So once that person is under contract, we would work with them to create a scoring criteria that could be much more objective than what a general plan otherwise would allow. But that's our starting point for right now, is using the zoning district policies to guide us in how we would put preference to different applications.
Thank you. And that kind of leads into one piece that I was curious when it comes to, if this was all approved, if it got funded, when it comes to the outreach of this opportunity for businesses, obviously, if the requirements and stuff for this fund, they have to be low to medium income. So for those who are eligible to, they might not always know about these opportunities because they probably have the smaller staffing and smaller capability. Are you all planning on notifying everyone that has, basically stuff within all those different criterias that we're saying, like, send the hard copy? Yes, send the email. I know you have a business tax certificate kind of list of everything too, but I wasn't sure what's the outreach plan to make sure that people know about it. Because obviously if they're falling in this category, they probably need it the most, if they so choose to pursue it. Obviously, if they don't choose to pursue it, that's their choice.
Yeah, another detail for us to fully flush out as we continue to work through and receive concurrence from your council. But my intention is that we partner with the South County Chamber to identify businesses that might be eligible. We would use social media. We would also host as a part of our grants page on the Community Development's website, host an additional web page with information on it. It could also be something that we host on the city's main page just to kind of advertise and bring it to the forefront. We've also used general mailers and flyers for businesses along West Grand. We could try our best to do that citywide, but that is could be cost prohibitive, but there's a lot of different options for us to pursue. But I think that that's where I would suggest that we start, is partnering with those organizations that can help us spread the word best.
And when you say it might be cost prohibitive, and for me and stuff, there's only so many businesses too. I mean, our business tax certificates has a lot of people, but they're in different areas. They're home businesses. So I think as far as the amount of physical locations that are left that are registered with the city through being legitimate businesses within that respect, it's hard for me to see that it could be cost prohibitive because there's not too extensive, but I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't do the day-to-day in this work, so.
Yeah, and I don't have a complete number of businesses that are currently in within the city right now off the top of my head, but mailers do cost money, but we're willing to look into it, identify what that cost would be, and then apply it. And that might even be an eligible activity under the administrative services component of it. So there might be a reimbursement associated with that. Again, there's some additional details that we're still fleshing out. And just off the top of my head, thinking of it as we discuss it, other options are to also partner with the county, partner with other cities, and make sure that they're also able to get the word out for us through their social media and means of distributing content, because we don't just want to advertise to local businesses. We also want to attract outside businesses as well. I have one individual who's been communicating with me probably for the better part of 9 months. They're hopeful that they just found a spot that's ready to go. But this is something that they have been looking countywide for, and they're not local to Grover. They're in AG. So again, partnering with other neighboring jurisdictions to help spread the word would also be a benefit to us.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Very good.
I wonder if we might be able to remove the signage and include that in the grant. A lot of the expenses, companies or businesses pay a large fee for their signs and a cost, so that's possible. I'd like to be able to include that in the grant.
Okay, we'll when we get to the if you want to make the motion, you could do that as well. I only had one question, and that was regarding the outreach and whether or not that would be covered under the administrative expenses. So we'll be interested to hear how that goes. Okay. So I do not have any speaker slips for this item. Yes, ma'am?
Megan, we're always learning from each other, it seems. That was a good presentation. For those that are learning as I am, or those that might not know, LMI, if you would give us a definition of what that is. And then number two, how many businesses do you think already we might be able to help that are existing? And so it's obviously, the way it sounds, going to be available for new businesses as well as old businesses. But we kind of have an idea, I would think, of numbers of how many businesses we could help already that might qualify. And then finally, if you do the sign thing, please don't require that we use certain sign companies, because some people are devoted to their sign, their own sign companies, and it'd be nice to keep giving them business. I'm willing to volunteer my time. Give me flyers. I'll go knock on every business door there is and let them know that this money or assistance available to them. So I only have my feet on that, and I guess a little bit of a mouth, but I'm more than happy to knock on doors, so please call on me.
Thank you. Do you want to, again, advise what LMI means?
Yeah, so I'll provide two definitions. The first is the actual acronym. So LMI stands for low to moderate income. And the way that we determine that is a formula that the state passes down to the county based on SLO County's data. And a low to moderate income household would be $101,900 annually. Wow. So for a house, thank you, for a household of four. So to qualify as an LMI business owner, your household would have to provide evidence that you make that or less. And that's 80% below the median household income for a family of four in the county. So again, two definitions. As far as how many businesses existing would qualify, if we cap at the $50,000, which staff is recommending, we're hopeful that this could reach, let's say each application requests the maximum amount. We're hopeful that that could reach at least 20 businesses. How many currently qualify, I couldn't tell you. We weren't able to collect that data within the time given, but happy to do that if your council requests it. And I just wanted to make one mention on the signage, as well as some of the limitations of applying for a grant through the state, is that we will be mandated to do all work through prevailing wage. So we may be limited, not we, the city, sorry, applicants may be limited in who they can choose to complete these improvements and signs, because those right. contractors would have to pay prevailing wage. So just okay. wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Okay, does that, I see no other speakers. All right, so we'll now close public comment. Bring it back to the council for comments or a motion. Any comments?
It looks like this is just providing feedback, if I'm reading it correctly. So I guess I would defer to staff.
Oh, just
I feel
direction.
Like
yes, thank you. That's all we need is direction. So.
Yeah. And I guess between the two that I brought up, if I could prioritize one, I guess I would, again, look at the signage and exterior over the nonprofits. But I think also if we could kind of keep those both in tiered mind, just in case there was any funds left, I would think that would be a good way forward. And I do echo Councilmember Wyrick's sentiment about the businesses outside of just the Grand Avenue corridor. I think that that's great to know that that's something that's being thought about citywide, because I think that's important to have that perspective.
Thank you.
And I like where the outreach is headed to. Sorry, that was the last one. So awesome. I think doing the mailers or something direct effort to contact folks, beyond just social media. And I do think regional social media is great too. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm good with adding the sign portion to this, although I feel as though the drive that was behind a lot of this was creating durable improvements within our city at the same time, too. So all of those items that were precluded initially were all relatively temporary, specific to a specific business, that kind of thing. What we were looking at specifically in that initial list dealt mostly with infrastructure improvements, making sure that there's proper sprinklers that are attached, making sure that water is going within. That said, I have no issue putting the sign in there because I know that is an expense that is certainly preventing businesses because they are incredibly expensive. But I would urge us not to expand it beyond that and really focus on the durable upgrades to businesses and our buildings.
Okay. Any other?
Just to comment on the prevailing wage, I do believe it's been a while since I've done prevailing wage, but I think any company can work on the signs as long as they pay prevailing wage. It doesn't have to be a union or anything. They just have to pay prevailing wage.
Yes. True.
Yeah, I'm open to the idea of adding the signage. I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of note that it's more like a second tier of preferences, and I only say that because I'd hate for all the money to go out the door that's for signage. And yeah, signage is important, especially if they are low to moderate income. They probably need the promotion stuff in order to increase their business profitability to help them and their families and their employees' families. But and things like, ADA accessibility, which, could be something that stops a business from operating, fire suppression safety systems. I mean, those kind of things that are on the initial eligibility list and plumbing enhancements. Oh, don't need any of those to break, to say the least. I mean, I do want to see that kind of the first wave out the doors for that part because those meet some very, clear health and safety standards that we're looking for. But naturally, since it really depends on those who are eligible business owners to apply for this, and some of them don't want to show their income, some of them don't want to disclose those kind of things. And so there might be a chance that yes, people who are eligible for the first round kind of this are like, I'd rather not do it. But then with the signage is coming into place too, and there's money left over, then they would go for it. So I'm hoping that there could be something along the effect.
I'm thinking that maybe that could be part of the rating criteria, possibly.
Yeah, I like that.
So.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Any other comments? Have we given you enough direction?
Absolutely. Hmm. Okay. And so just to clarify, it sounds like a signage will be added per council direction, but we will prioritize that a bit below the other more structural improvements, which really are the significant impediments we keep hearing from prospective businesses and tenants. Plumbing, electrical, HVAC, those are thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of improvement. Signage is in a different category, much less, still a barrier for some. And so we'll have that be an open application, but we'll rank that less based on what I'm hearing from the council.
Okay.
And my only question on direction as far as the outreach side, I mean, where have you all kind of seen that land?
We will do ample outreach, sir, and work with the South County Chambers. We'll do electronic, we'll do mailers, we'll take advantage of community volunteers who may want to help us with door-to-door. So we will extensively outreach this.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, we'll move on now to item 17. Which is, what, am I missing something?
No, ma'am. Oh. I just had a point of order on this item. For item 17, I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation.
Thank you.
So feel free to give me a call when we're done.
We'll do so. Thank you. Okay, we'll wait for Councilmember Rushing to vacate, and then we'll get started on item number 17. All righty. Thank you very much. This is a resolution calling a special municipal election to be held in District 2 of the City of Grover Beach on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, for the submission of the question of the recall of a certain officer and requesting that the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors consolidate the special municipal election with the statewide general election. And this presentation is going to be by City Attorney Lamelli. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. So in light of the certification that you accepted this evening on consent, the elections official for the city, City Clerk Sims, was able to validate the appropriate number of signatures on petitions in order to move forward with the recall election of Councilmember Rushing within District 2. Pursuant to the Elections Code, Council must now order or call a special election to submit this recall question to the voters within District 2. The council has 14 days within which it can make that decision. However, since this is the meeting that we will have to align for that, that's why we're asking for it this evening. The proposed date of the election will be November 5th, 2024, which does coincide with the statewide general election. The ballot will present the voters of District 2 with the question, shall Daniel Rushing be recalled, removed from office of council member of District 2? It will require a yes or no vote. A majority vote will be required for the recall to be successful. At that time, pursuant to the government code, any vacancies would need to be filled according to the government code procedures at that point. There is no fiscal impact related with this other than the cost or the anticipated cost that will be incurred by the county running the special election as part of a consolidation, which is currently estimated to be around $6,000.
Okay. So may I just ask a question here? Yeah. So that's going to be expended by the county, and then we will reimburse the county? Is that how that goes?
Correct. They will invoice the city, and upon receiving a proper invoice for the services provided, then the city will provide them remuneration for that invoice. I will note that it is not uncommon for the actual invoice to come in above what is typically estimated by the county. So
okay.
That's our estimate now.
Thank you.
That they provided.
All right. Thank you very much. Questions?
Yeah, this is just a simple one that, you know, since we had in our consent agenda earlier, you know, a related item to this part, that the only reason why this is on regular business versus on consent is just because it's legally required to go through this process as far as public hearing. Is that correct?
That's correct. Because this item will allow for more discussion. The acceptance of the results from the elections official is a purely ministerial item, and so the need for that to be on regular business was diminished.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to now open this for public comments on the item, and I do have some speaker slips. If anyone else would care to, please turn them in. We'll start with Anancy Allison.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Nancy Allison. I've been a Grover Beach resident since 1990. My husband served in the city council from 2000 to 2008, and what I learned during that time is that people who serve our community in this capacity are volunteering hundreds of hours of time, energy, and commitment to make our community a better one. It is a selfless act and one that does not deserve disrespectful comments from members of the audience. Daniel Rushing has served on city council since being appointed in 2021 and then ran for re-election and won in 2022. He has been a 20-year involved resident, parent, and husband, and brings marketing and sales knowledge and nonprofit experience to our council, along with intelligence, strong listening skills, and a cooperative attitude. Some of the achievements that have been made by Daniel and this city council are: help maintain a balanced budget with ample reserves, listen to our community when it objected to the increased water rates, which resulted from out of control construction costs for Central Coast Blue, work to amend and update our codes to allow for increased housing density and ease our community's housing shortage, help create more affordable housing options, including approving a new 53-unit affordable housing complex, authorize the purchase and ground lease of a future transitional housing project for our community's unhoused population, supported multiple nonprofit and local business grants and programs to help our community heal from the trauma of COVID-19. And we heard about one this evening. Daniel Rushing deserves our respect and gratitude, not a shameful recall campaign. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Lieberman.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Steve Lieberman. I stand before you and my community to express my outrage with this recall initiative. I understand the ship has sailed and that we're going to move forward with this, but I'd like to take a few minutes to tell you why I'm cranky. You, the City Council, are us. You are Grover Beach citizens just like the rest of us. Unlike the rest of us, you decided to step up and be our voice, the voice of the entire community. All of us. The rest of us in the room are the same. Neighbors, people who are retired, people who work, people with families or on their own. You're no different than any of the rest of us here tonight. You agreed to take on big issues so we would not have to. Thank you for that. Central Coast Blue was a well-intended project with runaway costs. You did the right thing and backed out of it. Utility rates were increased to fund the project have been reduced. You did the right thing. Thank you for that. I've been told the recall effort against Councilmember Rushing is not personal. That is a lie. The issues this small group of citizens demanded have been resolved. This means this is a personal attack. This is a personal attack on all of us. Here's some truth. Grover Beach is the only city in our county with term limits for council members and one of two with term limits for mayor. We already ensure a regular change in representative leadership. I've been before you to talk about a new exciting group that I was part of called We Are GB, and I'm taking a break from that organization and leaving it to other folks that have stepped up with similar interests. I'm starting a campaign committee, Grover Forward. I'm going to defend our community from this attack on Councilmember Rushing, which is an attack against all of us. We are all citizens of Grover Beach. I love this community. I've done a lot for this community and will not let the misguided acts of a few disrupt our city without a fight. Thank you.
Thank you. Carl Bloom.
Hello, Mayor Bright and Council. Good to see you here. Give me 1 second to get my eyes on. This is a letter that I put together. I've also emailed you all and to Mr. Bronson also. I've been following the recent developments over the past year regarding Central Coast Blue and the City of Grover Beach's potential participation and benefits to the five cities' communities and the multitude of concerns regarding the process and cost to communities. I'm not going to push any agenda whether Central Coast Blue is the right option in moving towards a more sustainable water future. What I'd like to point out is the high cost to Grover Beach community when we take knee-jerk reactions based on decisions that our elected officials make that we don't agree with. I completely understand that the process of joining a multi-municipal agreement is a very complicated one that demands transparency and overt communication to all stakeholders. When the process was unfolding, my viewpoint was there was a lot of optimism about a project that could support sustainable water. As I watched the city council meetings where large groups of opponents of Central Coast Blue protested the city's participation, community communication, and transparency, it was clear that many of their concerns were valid. Since that time, Central Coast Blue participation from our neighboring communities has dissolved, and also in Grover Beach. We have established political processes and election cycles that are by design a system of checks and balances that provide a safety net against extreme decisions. I would remind you that our councilmen and women in Grover Beach are public servants who come from a diverse background with one commitment, a commitment to volunteerism and helping support our city. They most certainly aren't in it for the money or benefits. Recently, a group of citizens with their own opinions regarding the process and transparency around Central Coast Blue have asked for both the recall election and a lawsuit against the city. My concerns at this point are with the litigation and recall election that is not in the best interest of this whole community. The premise that these two actions are based on was a city process and a decision that was made that didn't align with their opinions. Our council made an informed decision on the project based on the best information that was available at the time. As time passed, it was clear this process was flawed, potential income sources were not insured, and our council pivoted. This was the responsible move. What was not responsible was a smearing of council members who initially voted to move Central Coast Blue forward. To push an unnecessary recall election and potential litigation for a vote that you didn't like is extremely harmful to the city of Grover Beach. In my opinion, recall elections should occur when an elected official breaks decorum, commits continuous egregious behaviors, or some other act that makes them not worthy of public service. In addition to being costly, recall elections and lawsuits based on policy decisions we are opposed to are not the process we agree to in a democratic society. There are so many better uses of our public servants' resources, and since we have election cycles every 2 years, that we have four other members on our council that can check any extreme views.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Leslie Marr.
So I'm a little confused because this comment section is about number 17, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so on whether we should be petitioning on having this either be a special election or part of the November 5th election. So I'm surprised that you let them continue to speak. But if that is the case that we're talking about, today I want to highlight the numerous benefits of scheduling a special election recall during the upcoming statewide general election on November 5th. First and foremost, 511 certified constituents in District 2 recalled Councilman Rushing. So holding the recall during the general election maximizes the opportunity for District 2 voters to participate and make the decision on whether he should continue in that position. Historically, general elections see the highest voter turnout compared to special elections, which often suffer from low engagement. By aligning the recall with the general election, we ensure that the voices of a broader and more representative cross-section of the population are heard, not just Grover H2O or Grover Ford or those groups, all of District 2's voters. This increases the legitimacy and the democratic value of the recall process, as decisions will reflect the will of the larger portion of the electorate. Economically, combining the special election recall with the general election is a prudent decision. Conducting a standalone special election incurs significant costs for setting up polling stations, printing ballots, and paying election staff. By merging these events, we can leverage the existing infrastructure and resources of the general election, leading to substantial cost savings. This is a financially responsible approach that ensures taxpayer money is used efficiently. Furthermore, holding the recall during the general election minimizes voter fatigue. Frequent elections can lead to voter apathy and burnout, where citizens become less inclined to participate due to the perceived burden of constant voting. Consolidating the recall with the general election reduces the number of separate election events, making it easier and more convenient for voters to stay engaged and informed about the issues at hand. Additionally, a concurrent election provides more time for voters to become informed about the recall issue. The general election period typically features extended media coverage and public discord, offering voters ample opportunity to learn about the candidate, the measures, and the recall itself. This leads to a more informed electorate, better equipped to make thoughtful and considerate decisions. Lastly, aligning the special election recall with the general election promotes fairness and equality. It ensures that everybody gets to be part and has their opportunity for their civic duty. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Don Ortiz, like, I'm sorry, I didn't even introduce you, but...
Good evening, Mayor Bright and council staff. Nice to see everyone. Nice to be here in the community of Grover Beach, which one that I really love, respect, and adore. I'm just here to make some comments in regards to this item and what's been happening down here. And I think it's, you know, I always look at Grover Beach as such a beacon of progress, a beacon of civility, and really just a bunch of cool, great people coming together. And it really, it disturbs me that this is happening tonight in regards to going ahead with this, with the recall. You know, I first want to note that civic engagement is critical in our democratic process. I think we all agree with that, and we know that there's ways to do that, and you know, it's there on the books to be able to do it. So, you know, we want engagement to happen. We want the process to take place, but that engagement requires work on all sides. That requires the ability to listen. It requires the ability to provide truth and honesty. It provides the ability to recognize staff's role and to be respectful to staff. That's something that we're very concerned about at the county in regards to all of these issues that come forth. You know, there's so many complexities in governance right now. You know, I guess people might say that back in 1872 as well. But we know today that we have many challenges in front of us, and we need to do them in a regional basis, in finding solutions on a regional basis. Some ways that this situation that we have in front of us here came from a regionalism effort, and those are not easy efforts to make. And so while certain things went one way, I think that most importantly, you know, we can almost look at the Rotary's, you know, four truths. Is it a four-way test? Is it truthful? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and friendship? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? You know, and those are the ways to find common ground. And that's really what I'm just here for. Being in leadership role, as you well know, requires us to have thick skin, requires us to make tough decisions, requires us to be able to put our head down on the pillow at night and feel good about what we did. But what does not require us to do is to be insulted and to be taken into such a terms where you're less than treated as a in an honorable manner. And I just want to reach out and say I support Councilmember Rushing at this point in time. I know it's very hard in a small community, and I just wanted to just say that we really want to just have the community go back to being working together, working on a civility moment of trying to come to solutions, and that's all I'm here for, and just to support each of you and your staff. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other speaker slips. Yes, ma'am.
Brenda Auer. Don, good to see you here tonight. And Rover H2O extends to you an invite to come and visit with us. Wow. I completely disagree with some of the things that were said here tonight. And I wholeheartedly believe that if it wasn't for Grover H2O, the city of Grover Beach would still not be transparent to the community. It was our loud voices that said, we want to know, educate us, include us, listen to our voices. Nobody's mad. Nobody's angry. We all have unity to want to be heard. Oh, December 11th, 2023, after 4+ hours, the council majority voted to almost double the water rates in the next 5 years. This vote was made after 2+ hours presentation from Central Coast Blue, CCB, which has since been opted out of by Grover Beach. Many community members believe the council did not listen to the community and protect their best interests. Watch for yourself on Slow Span. Again, December 11th, 2023, 4.5 hours. Go in about 2 hours and you'll miss some of the propaganda. It's important that most questions weren't asked, answered, explanations were given. I'm not going to point it out. I don't want to do that anymore because I really want to be able to just point out the facts. And questions weren't answered. They should have been answered prior to the vote. So the community chose to recall not just Dan Rushing, but Mayor Bright and Zach Zimmerman. But unfortunately, this is not the only reason for the recall and the repeal. The lawsuit came about because the city clerk legally blocked the recall petitions from being accepted. All our voices were shut down, just like they were here tonight, taking public comment, general comment, and putting it into, I've been here an hour and a half. I had a long day. I'm ready to go home. But I had something to say. There is a judge's ruling that confirms that the rights of the community were blocked by the city clerk in its office. A command was given by the judge, and still the city clerk did not comply timely. The last thing I wanted to do was get involved with the city issues, but I felt I had to stand up for those people who actually told me they were afraid to stand up for the city. I've seen the council and most of the administration put their hands over their heart and say, one nation under God. I believe that anyone who stands for truth will not be forsaken. I have faith that God will stay interwoven in the law of our land.
Thank you. I have no other.
Elizabeth Dukas, North Grover Beach. I would like to echo what Brenda just said. And also, we would not only have Daniel Rushing here, but also Mayor Bright and Councilman Zimmerman had the city clerk performed her simple ministerial duties in filing our petitions that hundreds of your citizens signed. Hundreds of them. Why? Because a completely uninformed decision was made by this body to double and triple our water rates, which we objected to a plan that we didn't know anything about, that wasn't properly vetted. And I find it interesting that the words thick skin come out because, once again, you are trying to diminish the voice of the citizens instead of putting us up and helping us. I came here to speak for John Weisong tonight because he doesn't have sidewalks in front of his home.
Thank you.
And he asked you about that specifically.
Thank you.
And what I am saying is when you silence your citizens, you only do harm to the body.
You're not being silenced. Okay.
The whole
Let's
body.
Stay on topic here. And
it
you
is
can speak
completely
to this.
On topic oy vey. Because there were other people in this body that had the proper amount of signatures
yes.
to be in the same position, but for the lack of ministerial duties that a judge had said was the only duty of the city clerk was to file and accept the petitions that you, by delay, ignored.
Thank you. We'll get to that when we're done here. Yes, sir.
Okay. Hi, Jeff Boyer. Hello, Council. I'd just like to speak a little bit on the recall effort. I'd like to touch on the notion that it was any kind of personal attack on anyone. It's not. It's absolutely just a function of community engagement and, recalls are something that's available to the community as a tool to use when a council isn't meeting the interest of the general public. When the water issue was voted on, it was a record number of protest letters that came to this city, more than they'd ever seen. Nearly, I think it was something around 1,800. And an entire room filled with people, most of which were vehemently against the increase and the project on the whole. So each council member had the opportunity to see what the people of the community, what the general consensus among the community was. Three council members chose to ignore that. And that's basically what the recall is representing. So I just want to speak on that.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other, we will close the public comment. And I think there needs to be, I know we don't want to go too far into the weeds here, but the discussion about delaying those, and I don't know if this is something we can even talk about at this point in time or not. City Attorney.
So as it pertains to the recall effort and the petitions that were submitted and ultimately the lawsuit that ensued and based on the judgment that was issued by the judge, the ruling by the judge was that the city clerk did not have the authority to unilaterally reject petitions with false statements in them, and that what the city and the clerk should have done was to file a lawsuit against the proponents for those false statements to have them removed. The city still has that as an option, but it has foregone that in order to move past everything that has been happening. And so it wasn't necessarily something that was, there were other cities that had also tried to do a lawsuit prior to, which reverted, and so there's still some confluence regarding exactly how a city would attempt to remove false statements from a petition. As it relates to public testimony at regular meetings, there is supposed to be, or there must be, a period for public comment on items that are not on the agenda. There is no requirement for those comments to be at the start or the middle or the end of a public meeting. There is a requirement under the Brown Act for the public to be able to comment on items prior to consideration by the council or during consideration by the council, and that's Government Code 54954.3. So there is no the council's meeting this evening has been in compliance with the Brown Act as it pertains to the public comment period. I hope that answers.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. So now I'll bring it back to council for any comments, motion.
Nothing to share at this time.
No, I mean, I think this is pretty straightforward.
Okay. So we then need a motion.
I'll move to adopt the resolution calling a special municipal election to be held in District 2 of the City of Grover Beach on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, for the submission of the question of the recall of Councilmember Daniel Rushing to the voters and requesting consolidation with the statewide general election.
We need a second. Someone?
I can second it.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. If we can have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Bright.
Yes.
Let the record show Councilmember Rushing has abstained.
Thank you. Shall we bring him back in now before we move on? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to our public communications portion of the meeting. And Catherine Sells.
I had two. One is about fireworks and one is about street parking. So,
well, if you can do them both in 3 minutes, that's great. Otherwise,
I'm not sure
we'll call
I can,
you up for the next one.
I'll start with the fireworks first. We say it every year, but
I swear this is the worst year ever. It was so bad. I even heard a cherry bomb go off last night. I can't say that I understand some people's need to make noise and create havoc with no regard for pets, the elderly, or persons with PTSD. Even as late as Saturday the 6th, I was out with friends, and my poor dog bloodied himself trying to climb through a window to get inside. It was probably a cherry bomb or something else. I really believe, even though we say it every year, this was like a war zone. I thought about this a lot. Last year, I asked Grover Beach City Council to ban fireworks. That didn't happen. Grover and AG are the only places in five cities where they are sold. I'm proposing a change, although this is not what I want. This is a compromise, proposing that since even legal fireworks are banned outside of the hours of 10 to 10 on July 4th, then don't allow their sale until those same hours on that same day. The sellers can make sales ahead of time, but the items will be held until between 10 and 10 on the 4th. The seller will store the purchases until the buyers pick them up on the 4th. This won't stop the illegal ones, but any that go off outside of that time frame will be illegal, making police work a little easier. And I don't know. Okay, I'm curious about street parking. I'll try to talk fast. My neighbor's driveway is flush with mine. They have 8 to 9 vehicles, four of which are full-size pickups. As I left home just this evening, pulling in my driveway, I can't see in either direction. Many times they park in front of my mailbox, but not consistently. Right now, the big truck in front of my house has a four-wheeler on it that I guess he uses for work, but he parks it right so it's the first thing I see when I open my front door. Before, he had it on a trailer in front of my house for 5 days, and finally a friend came over and we moved it to in front of their house, because if I'd called, they've marked it 72 hours, they've already moved it. You know, it makes no difference. I've dealt with this for 22 years, and my neighbors have no respect for me. My daughter, when she lived with me, asked them to leave her a space in front of the house for her car, and they laughed in her face. And there are probably too many people living in this dwelling, but I don't want to get them in trouble. I just want them to have some respect for me. And I don't know. I don't know what to do. So I'm just whining.
Thank you. We'll speak a bit to that after public comment. I'm sorry if I butcher your name. David Yeo. What do you know?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is David Yeo. I'm from Morro Bay area. There's only one group of people I know of on this planet who can murder 187,000 people and make everybody believe they're the victims. Today is the anniversary from 1940. Today in 1946, of the very first terrorist attack in the Middle East in Jerusalem at the King David Hotel, where 91 it was the Zionists against the British Empire, and they killed 91 people. Some of them happened to be British. Actually, 26 of them were actually Jewish. This is a group of people who are terrorizing a whole country called Palestine.
Mayor?
In the Middle
yes.
East.
We just need to keep it to something within the purview of council.
Yes, I just want to see where we're headed with
we
this.
You are beyond being able to stop the war. I understand that.
Yes, we are.
And to stop the murder and the killing. But to know what is going on there, and you do have connections with such people as Mr. Carbajal and maybe John Laird and maybe others. And you have some influence. You have a voice. And I am asking, I am requesting that whatever you can do, that you speak with these people and let them know it's not acceptable to honor genocide. And I would also like for you to respect the people of the Palestinian people of your jurisdiction who've voted for you and contribute to you and to the community and are asking not to send their tax dollars to murder their family members.
Thank you.
I thank you. And although there are a lot more things I could say, obviously some people don't believe this is the appropriate moment for it.
Yes. But thank you. We appreciate you coming. And we all do have our own personal opinions, and everyone has on this council has the right to go forward however they wish to.
Yes.
So we do appreciate the information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brenda Auer.
I believe what you were trying to do is exercise your freedom of speech. It is now 7:30. I was on the ocean all day. I'm doing like this. Don't have my sea legs. I really don't think that putting the general comment at the end of the meeting is beneficial for anyone. You're stifling people's voices. And to do it last minute like this, my friend came. Especially, I told him, come, you'll get to talk in the beginning. So I'm going to repeat myself. I asked the city council tonight to compensate Gabino at 750 West Grand. His business was blocked the majority of last week and the week before. You can get to it now, but it was blocked. He should be compensated, please. Anyway, again, I have faith that God will stay interwoven in the law of our land. We must pray for America and hope for a solution to the fentanyl problem. That when people recover from, they're thrown into big pharma with a drug called Suboxone. There's problems here. We need to really take care of our youth, guide our children, so they don't end up in this drug addict predicament that we have. That's about the lawsuit. Let's see. Again, the last thing I wanted to do was get involved with the lawsuit. But I felt like I sold so many homes here and people were so concerned about being able to afford. My house is almost 100 years old. Doubling my water rate is not going to help me do the improvements I want to do. Back to God. The Ten Commandments, it's a good idea to live by. I recommend, if y'all don't read the Bible or whatever Bible you might read, I recommend you try it. Start with the New Testament, the book of John. You'll learn about how God can do for you in your life. And help you. Daily I thank God for the goodness and grace to forgive me when I sin and I miss the mark, as we all do. If you're turned off by the Bible, try the movie Harold and Maude, a funny little thought-provoking message about living life to its fullest. Cat Steven, as I know him, says in one of his songs, if you want to sing out, sing out, and you can do whatever. This is what we need to teach our children. This is what we need to hear here with this opportunity to do a recall and a repeal, the voice of the people. And I personally tried to talk to Dan. He wouldn't talk to me. I'm one of his neighbors. He shut me down and said, no, CCB is what we must have. And we all know it's not. There are alternatives, but sometimes you have to have an open mind and talk to each other and ask God to guide you. Remember, one nation under God. You all say it, whatever kind of God it is. Try and find that goodness of doing to others as you would have them do unto you.
Thank you. Robert Skinner.
Good evening, everybody. It's coming as no secret that I'm an activist, I'm an advocate for the Palestinian people. I'm not Palestinian. And it's been roughly 10 months. There's been an ongoing genocide. In our community, we have roughly a couple dozen families who are Palestinians. They desperately need your help. We have gone to the City Council of San Luis Obispo. We've gone to Morro Bay. We've come to you in the past. We've gone to Senator Laird. We've gone to Congressman Carbajal. We've gone to Mr. Panetta. We've gone to, I'm forgetting somebody, we've gone to Bruce Gibson. We've gone to every entity. Government is here to advocate and serve for their citizens. This is one group that is completely maligned. They're demonized. I'm going to ask one question. How many of you actually know a Palestinian? How many of you have ever encountered a Palestinian? I'm looking in this room, and I can only see that I know for sure as an absolute fact that there is at least one Palestinian here. And on that question, if you don't know, I mean, you know, you can raise your hand and say, yeah, I know somebody, or no, I don't know anybody. But the thing is, if you don't know a Palestinian, more likely what you do know about Palestinians are stereotypes. And we all know the stereotypes. They're crazy, they're jihadis, they're baby killers and that sort of thing. And the reason I'm making this point, somebody has to help them. And if you won't help them, who will? And so one thing I am going to ask, will you maybe entertain and meet a couple of Palestinians? I will arrange it. I will acknowledge and set it up. We did it with Senator Laird, and we still need to follow up to see if he's going to help. But, you know, we got to start someplace, because if we don't, this is just going to continue and continue, and this will end. And guess where you will be in the history books? What did you do?
Mr. Skinner, I appreciate that. And as I've said, we all have our own personal opinions on this. It is just not an item that is appropriate for our city council to opine on. It's not.
I'm not asking you to opine. So, I'm asking you to put it on, to make an agenda. Let the public come in, just like what you had right here with your recall. Let's put that on the agenda.
You've asked us in the past, and I believe that we declined on that.
Well, I know
reason,
you did. So. That's why I'm back here asking you again.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I mean, what can we do? I mean, are you literally going to say, oh, it's not our projective, it's not our prerogative, but you're going to allow people to die? You have
Thank
it in
you.
Your authority.
Mr.
You have
Skinner,
it into your purview.
Mr. Skinner, please, we have a number of other people who'd like to speak.
I know
so
it.
I think we've made
I know
our
you
position
do,
clear.
And I'm going to be walking away. But just remember,
Thank you,
you got to go to sleep tonight. And you got to know, you're
Sir,
all going to look in the mirror.
Please.
You're going to say, what can you have done?
So you can't talk about this issue.
Okay. Please. Okay. We're going to keep this meeting orderly. I believe that we've been very clear regarding this particular item. It is not under the jurisdiction of our city, of our council. Our attorney has already opined on that. So this is nothing that we can go forward with. So unfortunately, that is, well, okay.
Well, it should also be noted
Excuse
that
me.
We
do not speak from the audience. Please hold on. Yes,
it,
sir.
It should also be noted, Council, that we took these very same steps when there were individuals from the Jewish community that came in and were seeking the same thing. So it's not within the jurisdictional province of Council, and this is the same manner in which we've dealt with both groups.
Thank you. I hope that explains it a little further.
Can I step?
Sir, I've got speaker slips here, so we're going through this here. Andrew Gould.
Good evening, City Council, Mayor Bright. Of course, my name is Andrew Gould. I'm a student at Cal Poly, and I'm resident of San Luis Obispo. You may be wondering why I'm approaching the Grover Beach City Council, not the Slo City Council. And the issue is, of course, that the Slo City Council has been unable to help this. I understand you have a lot of local issues going on. You don't want to concern yourself with international issues that you consider beyond your purview. I get it. I completely understand that. The reality is, unfortunately, that the situation in Gaza is actually affecting many local people very, very deeply, including myself. I have seen people racially harassed.
Mayor, under the Brown Act, we have to keep things that are within
I'm
the purview, otherwise
sorry.
We're violating
this
the law.
Just, I'm sorry. Thank you for coming. We're going to have to move on.
What's with you guys?
Sir? This is shameful.
Okay. We're going to continue our meeting in an orderly fashion, and I hate to call upon our Sergeant of Arms, but we need to get through our meeting, and there are legalities that we must follow. I'm sorry that it doesn't suit your issues, but we are bound by these certain things, and it's something that we must do. So we're going to continue on. CJ Vigil.
Excuse the yawn, it might happen again.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, excuse the yawn, it might happen again. Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council. My name is CJ Vigil, and I live in Grover Beach. I spend an enormous amount of time in my community, and I absolutely love our city, the people, the businesses, and the amenities. And I value the leadership our council and city staff have shown over the last few years. I host community events focusing on positivity, fun, and building connections among neighbors. And in doing so, I have spoken with too many neighbors who have received misinformation and rampant negativity from a small group about our council and the proposed water infrastructure. A couple of examples include the sentiment that miles of newly paved roads would have to be ripped up. That is not the case. Another example is that our council voted to make Grover the industrial zone of Pismo. That is not true. I find it deeply disturbing that there are those who would spread misinformation affecting the outcome of major decisions that will impact residents for generations to come. I believe this group is being guided by their own agenda and do not speak for the majority. In closing, I believe that the silent majority has spoken. I only ask now that we start speaking just a little bit louder, because we need your help to focus on truth and positivity. For those of you who want to speak out, know that you are not alone. We are here. We are motivated. We are GB.
Thank you. Lauren Westfall. Excuse me. Lauren Westfall. Oh.
Good evening, Lauren Westfall from Newport. I associate myself with Grover H2O. But you speak of, speaking out of our agenda, we got Grover for we, Grover for something else. There's three Grovers. So I want to let you guys know, I'm Grover H2O. I don't look out for just me. I look out for our community. First off, I am the one, and I am now going to take credit, I am the one that made the city, or turned, showed the city that they were charging us 61 days early for the increased water rate, and got us all our credit, including you guys. With that being said, on June 29th, I sent an email to all of you guys, including Bronson, regarding the traffic hazard that the beautification program left in the intersections. In this email, in case you guys did not open it and read it, I asked why there wasn't four-way stops. People coming off of 6th and 7th were hazardly crossing because they could not see traffic behind those equipment. Robert, pro-term mayor, is the only one that answered me. He answered me within minutes. Him and chief of police took action on my request. We now have temporary four-way stops. Thank you, guys. I greatly appreciate it. So you guys all say over here that we are all for ourselves. Excuse me.
I just saved lives, and so did Robert, and so did the chief. Anybody crossing those streets could have been killed. Pedestrians, bikers. Lastly, since the beautification of Grover Beach, local businesses have lost a lot of their businesses because people can't get in. In 2020, the F20 tax was passed to help businesses to recover from COVID. This is the time for you guys to use it. Since that construction, they have knocked out the light pole on 4th Street, broke the water line twice, and broke into the sewer line. The last break-in of the water line was on Monday. It took 4 to 6 hours for it to be repaired. Those are all city workers that are out there repairing it. They're getting paid overtime. We are paying it with our tax money. Work ain't free. Repair ain't free. Don't know if the business's insurance is covering that. Again, since businesses had to close, we should be compensated because we are the ones that are closing the businesses because your guys voted to pass that beautification. We are Grover Forward. I don't understand what your agenda is. Mine
Thank
is
you.
For the people. Thank you, Chief Morrell. Thank you, Robert.
Leslie Marr.
Hi. So, as a patriot, born on the 4th of July, and even though I'm a proud dog, chicken, goat mom, I believe Americans have the right to celebrate their country's birthday with the fireworks for several reasons. The historical tradition, fireworks have been a part of the American Independence Day celebration since the very first anniversary in 1777. This tradition symbolizes the rocket's red glare mentioned in the national anthem and represents the fight for celebration of freedom. The expression of patriotism, fireworks displays, allow citizens to express their patriotism and pride in their nation. It is a visual and communal way to honor the country's history and to sacrifices made for its independence. The economic impact. Firework displays support local economies with sales tax revenue by attracting tourism and creating jobs. Events draw crowds who spend money on accommodations, food, and other local businesses, providing a boost to the economy. Freedom and liberty. The celebration of Independence Day with fireworks embodies the principles of freedom and liberty that the country was founded upon. Allowing citizens to freely celebrate in this manner is a reflection of the very freedoms that the holiday commemorates. These gatherings foster a sense of unity and shared joy, reinforcing special bonds and community spirit. The Grover Beach Police Department did a fabulous job this year keeping people safe and answering to those complaints when necessary. This is a fundamental joy that Americans have to celebrate. And we need these expressions of joy and celebration in this time when our country is so fractured. And this is a symbol of our unity. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Allison. Oh, okay. Steve Lieberman. Done. Oh, wait, that's right. We're done. Oh, okay. Those were my... Okay, yeah. Goodness gracious. I'm seeing all these same names again. Okay, very good. So...
If I may, Elizabeth Dukas, North Grover Beach. 1.0, decorum and order in general. 1.3, all council members, staff members, and members of the public should speak respectfully and avoid the use of profanity, blah, blah, blah. Recognizing that the First Amendment precludes the city council from prohibiting speakers from speaking based upon the content of their speech, the presiding officer shall use their best efforts, short of enforcement action, to remind and encourage all participating in the meeting to keep their speech respectful. It says nothing about content. We can come up here and say anything that we need to say without somebody stopping us from exercising our First Amendment rights. And I find that the changing of this, and I don't know if you all agreed with this, all of the council members, to the end of the meeting is extremely disrespectful to the senior members of our community. John Wysong wanted to come and speak tonight. He couldn't speak on the phone because you have a phone problem. So I'm here to speak for John Wysong, who is 90 years old, and he spoke to Mayor Bright about the sidewalks on his street. He has no sidewalks. He is a senior man, and you guys have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars putting in cement all along Newport that's just taking up space when all of that cement could have used to infill all of our sidewalks, which was part of your sidewalk infill project that we have been talking about and hearing for decades. So, and also, once again, on this election, had the clerk done her ministerial duties, there would be three people this November election: Mayor Bright, Daniel Rushing, and Zimmerman. Why? Because we could not afford what you were trying to sell us. We cannot afford to have our water bill go up two or three times. It is, and for anybody to think that upon everything else, PG&E, insurance, food, that that was going to be another ding that you were going to put upon your citizens. We were outraged that you would do that with little knowledge of what was in the water fund. What were the total costs? What have you spent already on these projects that we've all paid for? Well, we're simply telling you, we are tired of pain and pain and pain. You have to realize what your budget is and come in at budget. And quit increasing these salaries. Everybody keeps talking about the outrageous salaries we are paying for a small town. We can't afford it. So get real and realize what your citizens are trying to say to you. And for putting this at the end of the meeting is just unbelievable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, City Council, I've heard a lot of discussion about water tonight, how
May
upset
we have your
people
name,
are.
Ma'am?
Pardon me, Carolyn Kruger.
Thank you.
Kruger. A lot of discussion about water. People are very upset about water rates. You know, water is very important to life. It's a fundamental right. The Earth's water belongs to all of us. I can see how this issue has really fractured your community and caused some people to be accused of things and unable to do their jobs because of this issue. Imagine not having any water, any clean water. Imagine what that would do to a people. And imagine for a moment that a ceasefire in Gaza would allow people who have no water to once again have clean water. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Jeff Boyer, once again. I want to say that I strongly agree with what Elizabeth said about freedom of speech in a city hall setting. I think, you know, we're giving people 3 minutes at a time here. If someone wants to come up, if they feel really necessary to read us their grocery list for three minutes and use their time for that, you know, this is their chance, I guess. What I'm here to talk about is a revisiting of an issue that came up a while back, and it is water related. A while back, it was discussed that in the tier system of where our water meters are concerned, there was no provision for multiple residents on the same meter to not be tiered, tier one or tier two, tier three. So I don't remember if there was. I remember at the time that was brought up, the council kind of took issue with it, and kind of everyone sort of went, "Oh, what, we're doing that? We didn't realize that that was happening. That one meter that was supporting, you know, two or three different residences were getting tiered, tier two, tier three, as if they were one resident." So I wanted to bring that up because my property has a mother-in-law unit, two bedroom, two bath. I'm on one meter. My My bill this time was $500. I had my 18 units of that were billed at a difference of $138.78, and that's the difference over Tier 1. That was for the last 18 units above 22. And then also, I realized today by calling the city that I'm also being charged, even though I have one meter, I'm being charged to have two residences hooked up to that meter. So I'm being charged a meter fee for each resident, basically on that same meter. So and that fee is $32 that I pay each month for each. And I was asking kind of what the rationale for that was, being that there's one meter. I didn't see why, and she really didn't have much of an answer for me. I mean, I think it's just it really didn't make sense. So basically, that's just what I wanted to bring back up again and see if there was any resolution on that and see if it had been discussed. I'm in talks with the planning or whatever about getting another water meter to see if that could, you know, resolve some of the cost increase for me, but that's what I wanted to bring up. So
thank you.
Hi, Council. Hi, Mayor.
How are you guys?
I'm Randy Myrick. I've asked several questions in the last 3 months here, and you've never given me one answer. Do I own a quarter-mile street by 65-foot wide? Griffin, do I own that whole street? So I'd like an answer tonight, maybe. I'm sure you guys had time. 3 months should be enough time to figure that one out. Another thing, I talked to a couple of firefighters last week, and they told me you guys rented a fire engine the size of the one you just bought, the $4 million one. Is that true? You rented one? Why would you rent one? And I measured it. There's no way that fire engines can even turn on these streets if you have anybody parked on them. I've been in construction since 1978, and the thing's massive. Have you seen it? Has anybody seen that one? It's in Oceano. I was wondering why it's parked in Oceano. But, that, you know, you guys hide all kinds of things. Another thing, the 20-foot wide by 25-foot deep by quarter-mile long trench you did by the new unit being built, the 38,000-ton unit there that hasn't had plaster or sheetrock on it, if you look at it, it's leaning. Did anybody in their genius minds realize digging a hole like that without compacting it correctly and everything, shoring it up, it's leaning? So what's going to happen to that? There's not even plaster or sheetrock. The heavy stuff's not, the roofing, nothing's on it yet. Get rid of this guy. If you guys can't come up with these decisions and figure things out and just say yes to everything they say, nothing's going to get done. Common sense is most of it. It's just mathematical sense. I don't understand why you say yes to everything he does. And another thing, I played, because I tape record all this stuff. The mayor, when the fire engine got brought up, you asked the fire chief what the letters meant on a $4 million fire engine you okayed to buy. That didn't sound very bright, Mrs. Bright, but it happened to fall like that because of your name. But do I own my street? That's another. And if I do, can I get all those trucks that his buddies parked on my street, get them towed away? I have a friend that has a towing. He'll tow them. They'll have to pay on their own expense to get them out of the impound. And I'd like an answer on that. And another thing, can I replace my water meter? I'm a plumber. Can I just replace it myself? It's on my property. It's not on the common area. I mean, my water bill seems to be all right. It's the meter that you guys, is like you're legally extorting money out of us. But I guess that's about it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Seeing no other, we will close the public communications and see if we can answer some of these questions. Not all of them can be answered tonight, unfortunately, but we'll do what we can and then connect you with someone who can answer the questions for you in more detail. First and foremost, I want to talk about public communications. The public communications is, as we all know, for information or comments on items that are not on the agenda. So the point of moving the general public comments to the end of the meeting is so that people who come to speak to these specific items, they are listed on an agenda, people have some kind of an idea when they're going to be able to speak to those items, then they have some kind of an idea. A couple of years ago, I guess they added a small, like a 15-minute public comment section at the beginning. Well, that has become really very cumbersome. We have a lot of people who want to speak, and I have to cut them off and say, okay, this first few got to speak, now you're going to have to wait. It is a common practice by the school board, by a number of municipalities. This is the way that it's done. The mayor from Atascadero had said to me that the way they explained it to their community is people who come here to speak on an item that is on the agenda is like a reservation. People who come to speak to something other than what is listed on the business agenda, that is a walk-in. And so that is the way that people think about this. We are certainly not trying to stifle your public comment. I intend to be here a whole lot when I'm not up here. It's just the way that we need to do this in order to keep the business of the city moving forward. Is there anything else that anyone would care to add to that?
Mayor, I would just speak again to the within the same Brown Act government code section that I had previously referenced, just specifically talking about items that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of council. And so for clarification, the comments that are being made by the public need to have some reasonable nexus for an action that council can take. And that was the reason for the interjection on some of the other items that are outside of the subject matter jurisdiction of the council. Because by law, that is what's mandated, is that when there are items that are being spoken about, they do have to be within the subject matter jurisdiction of your board and based on actions that your board can take.
Thank you. No, public comment is closed. Okay. Then there was talk about these utility line issues and how we have contractors that are breaking them and the extra cost and so on. Can somebody speak to that briefly, please?
Yes, Mayor. The West Grand Avenue streetscape project is continuing its pace. It's now nearing the end of this first phase, which is installation of the storm drain, which is the most impactful part of this entire project. It's now up at the corner of 8th and Grand. It is a complicated project, and it involves crossing numerous utility lines, many of which are old. Part of the message that the council has heard over time is that we have aging infrastructure, antiquated infrastructure, and we're seeing that on West Grand Avenue, where there are some water mains that have broken. We don't know exactly the specific reasons, but they're all impacted by this activity taking place. Tomorrow, we are doing a one-day closure of West Grand Avenue and 8th Street in order for the contractor to replace a water main to preemptively get ahead of this issue so that we're trying to rectify this going forward. So this is a significant project. We know it has impacts on our businesses. The Buy Local program that we identified and council approved is a way for us to help support local businesses along West Grand Avenue, including the ones mentioned tonight. We certainly encourage people to continue using the businesses. They can access the driveways. They can access the roadways. It may be less convenient in some places, but there is a path of travel going forward, and we know that this is impactful, and we will be getting through this as quickly but safely as we can to get this project completed.
So is this project also to address the flooding issues that we've had?
Absolutely. We would not be installing storm drains were it not for the significant flooding issues that we've seen on West Grand Avenue in this section. So the council did include this portion of the project as part of the scope.
Right. We had many people come to the council concerned about the flooding issues, and it's unfortunate, but it's a big job to replace those big old pipes, and so, okay. Then there was an issue about sidewalks, that we should go and pave all the sidewalks that are not paved.
I might ask Mr. Ray to be able to speak to this, because we do have sidewalks are a complicated issue because of the responsibility that property owners have for sidewalks in front of their properties. The city does have a role with regards to assisting with construction, but it's a limited role with regards to sidewalks. We don't have the capacity, time, or money to go in and put in infill sidewalks all across the city. But Mr. Ray, our Public Works Director, could speak more to that.
Well, thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council, Greg Ray, Public Works Director, City Engineer. So there's a lot of competition for limited funds, and sidewalks compete for the general fund and gas tax dollars. Those funds are the same funds you use to repair asphalt, sweep your streets, to repair asphalt, the Measure K program, of course, is separate funding. But all of your major streets, Forest Street, Oak Park, the work that was done there recently, work done previously on West Grand Avenue, comes out of these funds. And so there are very limited amount of money available to do the sidewalk work. But the council did approve years ago an amount of money each year to do sidewalk infill, and the way we've been implementing that program is with the Measure K-14 project. We add that money along with the Measure K bond funds into that project that allows us to take advantage of the economy of scale of the size, those projects. We have the contractor already there, the cost is less, and the way it's been working is we work with the private property owners, and we pay a portion of the cost to do their sidewalk infill. So if they're willing to participate, the city adds to that, and that encourages the infill of those segments of sidewalk and makes the city's dollars go further. There are also limited funds available each year in the budget for sidewalk repairs, which addresses areas where the sidewalks have been damaged or displaced by trees and other things, and that is ongoing. And you'll see projects actually coming up pretty soon that addresses a number of areas in the city where we're doing some sidewalk repairs. So we are doing sidewalk repairs. Unfortunately, the program is small, the cost is significant, and it'll take a long time before we get them all done.
Thank you. Anything else on that? Okay. There was a lot of questions about the tiered water rates and meter fees for each meter. I know that staff has been working on that. Can you just give us a brief overview?
Yes, Mayor, I can be brief on this. We have been working on a list of different options regarding the multifamily tiered rate structure. We've been impacted through other work over the past several months with the budget process and other administrative tasks, but our Administrative Service Director is nearing the end of this process. We intend to come to council here in the coming months with some different options to rectify and address this issue of multifamily tiering.
Okay. So if somebody, say, Mr. Boyer wanted to talk with someone specifically regarding a specific item, or Mr. Myrick, who would you suggest that they get in touch with?
Sure. In the case of the billing, I would suggest talking to our Administrative Services Director, Nick Zomit, as he is ultimately the director in charge of that function. He can speak to the individual. In the case of Mr. Myrick, my understanding is that he has been in contact with our Public Works Department regarding the issue of the private streets. That is an ongoing topic within that area, Griffin, Huber, Huston, Calvin, because it is a mix of different city responsibilities, city ownership, and private ownership. Our staff has been in touch and contacting Mr. Myrick to discuss this, and I would encourage those conversations to continue. I'd also add that the fire truck he referenced was a reserve fire truck we purchased for $25,000 as a training fire truck prior to the delivery of the new truck coming up in 3 years.
So that truck won't be here for 3 years.
That's correct.
New one. Yes. Okay. I remember that. Okay. Is there anything that I did not cover here? Excuse me. Yes.
The only other two things that came up really were just in general about, you know, fireworks one way or the other, and then many vehicles on public streets parking. I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, thank you. Would you mind addressing the street parking issue briefly? Is Catherine still here? Will.
Yeah, I would just defer Ms. Sells to speak to the police department, and perhaps Chief Monroe could be able to speak to her further. Street parking, on-street parking is public parking, and so it is open to all. There are some regulations with regards to RVs and trailers and other things, but technically it is open parking for all to be able to use it. There are some nuances and some regulations that the police department is best advised to work with her on.
Very good. Thank you. And then regarding the fireworks, well, I think we're going to be talking about that under council communications. So, Mr. Wyrick, did you want to talk about it more here, or should we, you good with dealing with it in council communications?
Oh, no, I was just looking to see if there's any other issues that weren't talked about that people brought up.
Madam Mayor?
Yes?
I believe there was a question in regards to multiple units, single meter being charged double meter.
Right, and that is something that I thought that we would have staff work with them directly.
That's correct. On that particular issue, our staff can work with the individual to narrow down. I think the global issue is coming back to the council on some policy options for how to handle multifamily meters, single meter, because there are a number of different policy issues that staff would like to bring to the council. We anticipate bringing that forward later on this fall.
Okay. All right, then. Now then, we'll move on to council committee reports. Thank you all. Thank you all for your questions and for being here. I'll start to my left. Councilmember Zimmerman, anything to report on committee reports?
Just two short ones. One is that the Visit SoCal CEO search has concluded, and their interim CEO, Kathy Cartier, was selected successfully as their CEO going forward. So congrats to her. I think she's going to do a great job, and she was selected from dozens of candidates. I believe there was something to the neighborhood of 150 people threw in applications for that position. So I know that they really funneled it down to, I believe, less than 10, but very thoroughly vetted candidates, and she emerged successful. So looking forward to the next chapter with Visit SoCal, and then also with the South County Chamber, the July Mixer. They are going down to Napomo, Birchwood Napomo in particular, that advertises itself as a plant shop and beery. So if you're into that sort of thing, this upcoming Wednesday, 5 to 7, Birchwood Napomo for the South County Chamber monthly mixer.
What was it, a plant shop and what?
Beery. Instead of a brewery, beery. I don't know what the branding is there, but they feature beer and plants.
Just want to make sure I heard you right.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been there. It's a very cool place. And my wife and I are not allowed to go there for our various passions combined in that location.
Councilmember Rushing, you got anything for us?
Absolutely. We did hold a Five Cities Fire Authority meeting, though I will defer to the new vice chair of that board, Mr. Wyrick. We just transitioned the leadership of that, but I did also sit on the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting last week. We had our chair rotations as well for that meeting, so the AG member will be the chair for next year, and our member at large will be the vice chair for this year. The only major report out of the meeting was an approval to use one-time district designated reserves to help fund a funding gap in a, where did I go here? Oh, too many pieces of paper. My apologies there. To help fund a gauge fish ladder project. We did not actually fund the project. We just made a recommendation for the county's consideration. And that is all I have for my committee reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Nothing to report.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I got three different ones that met this past month. since our last month. The first one is the County of San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Water Conservation District's Water Resources Advisory Committee. That's goes by short RACRAC, and had a special meeting on Tuesday, June 25th. And the main item was regarding a recommendation, which was ultimately approved, to the County Board of Supervisors, which technically also serves as the official conservation district's board of directors for this month, regarding its state water project on water availability to put it to beneficial use and maximizing cost recovery to the fullest extent possible. That was the ultimate action that happened. And this related to the fact that the water stored at the San Luis Reservoir is limited and gets lost when it spills. So it's about that part. There was a lot of conversation around maximizing its use first and how such funds from the sale and transfer on the market works. But that was the item for the special meeting of why that came to being. And then, as Councilmember Rushing mentioned, for the Five Cities Fire Authority, we had our last Monday on July 15th, we had a regular board of directors meeting. It was my first board meeting as vice chair, and now from the Rio Grande City Council, the chair is Lon George, so their meetings are now held at the AG City Council chambers. And basically, we took actions finalizing parts related to the weed abatement efforts, and then we did approve a request for proposal, RFP, for standards of cover, community risk assessment, and strategic planning to provide a more comprehensive review of the authority's operations and needs with the goal in mind to ultimately improve our services to the community. And one of the things that, as far as why it's going in that much depth, is that it includes an analysis of data based off of many nationally recognized guidelines and criteria, such as recognizing National Fire Protection Association, NFPA standards, Insurance Services Office, ISO schedules, and then, of course, any federal and state mandates related to emergency services and generally accepted practices within emergency services. So that was that meeting. And the final one is last Wednesday, July 17th, I attended the County of San Luis Obispo Homeless Services Oversight Council, which goes by HSOC, at the regular meeting. And we had a few quick business items as far as approving amendments to its bylaws, approving new members, appointing two new officers, including one that is now specifically towards someone with lived experience with homelessness, which is actually a big progress within our organization. And then hear an update from the County Government's Homeless Services Division on the various housing programs and how they were affected by the County Government's budget cuts. The main portion of the meeting was actually getting updates from representative from the California State Association of Counties, which goes by CSAC, on how the state budget cuts were affecting different homeless-related programs and some of them that didn't get cut. And then a presentation from the county's Behavioral Health Department staff on the impacts and possible considerations that will be discussed just more through their processes on local programs resulting from the recently adopted by voters statewide California Proposition 1, the Behavioral Health Services Act. So that was the main part of those ones, and those are my three reports.
Thank you. Can I just ask you a quick question about the weed abatement? And maybe you know this or not, but it seems like years ago we used to get these weed abatement. It used to come to the council. Is it going to do that again? Or is it this all just within the authority of Five Cities Fire?
Mayor, at this point, it is within the authority of Five Cities Fire Authority.
Okay.
As our joint power authority for fire services, they are charged with overseeing the weed abatement efforts. And through various hearings, they do a very effective job of that, making sure that we get the weeds taken care of.
Very good. Thank you.
But you are correct that it, since it does include the city of Grover Beach, too, that obviously the properties, when we see it, are us or our Grand Oceano for the whole authority.
Right.
But, yeah, health and safety code in the California statute does apply to us regardless of where it originates from. That's just how our arrangement is for
Very
us here.
Good. Okay, thank you. I had no committee meetings since our last meeting. Now we'll move on to council communications. I'll start to my right here.
Yeah, and I'll do just a few. I do have now thinking about one request that just came up from tonight's, but I'll just do a few kind of activities I've attended since our meeting last month. So obviously our Grover Beach is our city's 22nd annual summer concert series. I did attend the last four Sundays on June 30th, July 7th, July 14th, and yesterday, July 21st. And it was, and we heard from the Kings of 88, the Susan Ritchie Band, Way Out West, and then yesterday, So Cool. And it's always great to see a lot of people come out. There seems to be times where a lot of people just really come out too. I don't know where they are before, but it's always good to see people having fun, dancing. And yesterday I saw this one area where I was like, man, there's a lot of pop-ups. It must be like some sort of thing. And then these little happy birthday thing comes out, and they invite me to join and hang out with them for a little bit too, to celebrate one of the people's birthdays. But it's always good to see our local crafts and food vendors, as well as the Rotary Club Grover Beach and our Boys and Girls Club South San Luis County present. And then on Friday, the League of California Cities, which goes by Cal Cities, or Channel County's division that covers San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura County, did have their most recent division meeting that was held in Tascadero. And several of us here, Mayor Pro Tem, Mayor, were there. And the main item of discussion was updating as far as their statewide board of directors positions that they took on statewide ballot measures that are going to be on all of our ballots in November, and different impacts that they perceived and why they're prioritized for them. Then a couple of simple ones is our Filipino Community Center in Grover Beach had their Fiesta Filipiniana and Scholarship Board night on Saturday, July 13th. And it was actually my pleasure to be invited this year as their inspirational speaker, providing for their scholarship recipients that they have from local high schools, including, yes, my own Oro Grande High School. I had a throw out the Go Eagles for them, for those two, but I was able to provide some supportive words for them as they continued their path forward, both academically and in the careers. And you all would relate that I did add a special emphasis on the value of integrating both service and leadership into whatever pathway they go into in order to contribute to the greater good, but more importantly, to find their unique way, since it does reveal a lot about them outside of just careers, too. And we did also hear from our keynote speaker, San Luis County Superior Court Judge Childs, in addition to seeing, obviously, a lot of cultural performances, too, in our very full room. And then, of course, I ate the Grover City Grange's pancake breakfasts, Mayor Pro Tem knows, every month. So those are my communications. And I do actually want to see, because I've had many conversations with the city manager about this, and it does come up multiple times, if we at least could set in the future some time to have, even if it's an informational update too, regarding the very tricky situation that we do have regarding city roads, private roads, because there are different parts in the city that do have private roads. Some of them are marked clearly same private roads, others of them aren't, and it's been a confusing area that requires judicial action. There's a lot of dynamics to it that'd probably be good to have clear, even if it's an informational part, to get clear on some of the dynamics I know staff's been working on too. So that's one thing I do want to request. It's something that's a long-term one, obviously, because it requires the court's actions, but that would be good to at least work on the calendar at some point too.
Thank you.
On a note on the Grover City Grange pancake breakfast, which will be August 4th, first Sunday of the month. Some time ago, they did get a visit from the health department, and it's coming to the end of this year. I think they extended us, gave us a temporary permit, and we found out recently that the hood is not to code, and so we're going to undertake a major fundraiser to try to raise the $40,000 it takes just to put a kitchen hood in. So if we don't get that accomplished, I think by December, the pancake breakfast will go away. And it's been a standing event for probably over 50 years here in Grover Beach. So we'll get the word out on that, though. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. To my left.
I guess two quick bigger picture ones for me. One would be in regard to the fireworks enforcement and that stuff. I do think it's something that I heard from quite a few people in the neighborhood, this year being especially festive, depending on your point of view. And then, just kind of looking at what we can do, I can say that from my personal experience, I think it's been a pretty constant barrage from the month of June, late June, all the way through up to last night. So I think it's ongoing, and I do think that where the fireworks stands go, the illegal fireworks go. So I think that just that was my opinion, wherever we land on that. I know that the fireworks stands are such a major financial contributor to the community, and it's so fun for so many families and all that stuff. But I think that, you know, once you're past the age of 13, you probably start looking at some more exciting fireworks than the ones they sell at the stands. So I think that is how I see just kind of the natural progression of where we are currently. So I think it's a total enforcement nightmare, but I think at the same time maybe something to consider. And I know there isn't an item on a future agenda that's going to be looking at that. So no real necessary action, I'd say, at this time. I just wanted to bring that up and kind of reiterate a little bit of things that we heard and things that I heard in the community. And then also I had an occasion to walk through the El Camino area, the formerly very residential area, kind of the wilderness down on the bottom of 4th Street there, and did not see any residents, and really got to thinking about sustainable ways that we could keep it that way. And I think that something now that my professional life has shifted more towards land use in that direction, really wondering what we could do to prioritize at least a feasibility study type thing in the community, as far as making that something that's publicly accessible and maybe maintained. I know that also oversight is an amalgamation of pointing fingers and overlapping and small parcels and state parks and AG and Pismo and Grover and all that. But I think that it's an absolutely beautiful area that the city would really benefit from as a community resource if we were able to eventually put that on the long-term list for consideration. So,
thank you.
That's all for me.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I really don't have anything to say. I do look forward to our conversation regarding fireworks in the coming months, and just wanted to thank everybody for tonight. This was a personally challenging day for me, and I appreciate working with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ditto. Okay, so we have a couple things here. Fireworks. I know that staff has I believe, an idea of that this was coming. I spoke to a number of people as well. And so are we in agreement then that we would like to see?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. All right then. So we'd like to see a firework report.
Exploration of options maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, Council. We have been anticipating this. And so we plan with Council's direction now to bring an item to you this fall. That would be in some ways similar to what we brought to you last fall on the topic of fireworks activity and enforcement, which covered the enforcement activities. It covered different options that we could look at, and covered safe and sane fireworks. Reference the fact that we are not a charter city, so we do have some limitations that charter cities don't always have, but we could bring that forward and engage the council further in that conversation. So I'll work with Chiefs Monroe and Hallett, and we'll bring that back to the council this fall.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And then talking about the issue with which streets are private, which are not, what would that look like?
Yeah, what I would suggest is we are planning to bring a street repair update to the council this fall. That would be a comprehensive review of where we are with our street efforts, both K-14 streets as well as major streets. And then with the council's concurrence, I could incorporate an aspect of private streets into this conversation. So that'd probably be in the October time frame at this point.
Okay. I think that would be really very helpful to everybody. Are we good with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, excellent. And then the El Camino Real, I know that there was at one time talk of walking trails and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the last time the council took this up was in 2022, I believe. It was identified as a list for a potential capital improvement project. The price tag identified was roughly $300,000 in doing an updated trail map effort, because it is a significant effort that involves environmental analysis as well.
Right.
At that time, it was an unfunded need, so the council did not prioritize that, just given other priorities we had. If that was something the council wanted to revisit, I would suggest that be put into the context of the next two-year budget cycle and identified as a potential project the council could revisit as part of the budget process.
Okay. Does that suit you?
Sure. That's great.
Is there any possibilities of grants available for that?
We did explore some grant funding opportunities a couple of years ago. We did not obtain much success in looking at that, but that is something that as we approach the two-year budget cycle again, we could look at grant opportunities for that.
And, you know, considering the fact that the situation in El Camino Real has significantly changed since the last time we addressed this, so I would definitely like to have that conversation.
Yeah. Very good.
And one thing, too, that maybe, you know, could be started before waiting for next year's budget process is, I mean, as far as the trail, that's one aspect of it. But there is that broader conversation of conservation within that whole part, too, because as Councilmember Zimmerman mentioned, that there's multiple jurisdictions involved, too, beyond just our city. And we do have our coastal RCDs. They literally have an office in Grover Beach, too, and we have multiple conservation nonprofit organizations that might be able to figure out some of these different pieces, especially in funding. So I'm not sure if it has to wait till that far as being just a city-only responsibility because it covers multiple parts. And, yes, the encampments have been they're no longer there, basically, and stuff to the degree that was there before. So I'm wondering if it could happen. It's just not just the city alone in this conversation, at least to start what it would look like to broaden those aspects.
From a staff perspective, we could have some initial conversations, but I would hesitate about doing too much on this because it's not on our work program and it's not something that we have current capacity to with other projects we have. So we could have some initial dialogue, but then really bring it back forward to the council as we approach the fiscal year 25-27 budget process and bring that forward. Also, as part of your goal setting process, I think for us to be devoting significant time and effort, we want this to be reflected in the council goals as well.
Well, is this something that Councilmember Zimmerman on his own as an individual could explore further too in the meantime?
Any council member can always certainly do their own research on different things as well as part of their own prerogative. So that could certainly be done in concert with what would be done over the course of the fiscal year as we approach the budget process.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Well, that's all I have from that segment of our meeting. Did I miss anything? Okay. We'll move on now to City Manager report and comments.
Yes, Mayor, just a few items. First, with Chief Monroe here, I wanted to acknowledge that this is his first council meeting as our full official police chief in Grover Beach, so we're very delighted to have him here. I'll also acknowledge that today marked the start of the Police Department Drone Pilot Academy, which was a first-of-its-kind effort that we're aware of anywhere in the country for a police agency to sponsor a drone program focused on youth. So we have 30 kids participate in this program over at Fairgrove Elementary School. Started today, goes through, I think, Thursday. And just looking at the pictures already, it's a really cool way of connecting with the community and helping to further connect police with our community. Speaking of that, we have two great events coming up in August that will be great opportunities to build a stronger community. We talk about community engagement, we talk about transparency, and here are two great examples of that coming up. August 2nd is our second annual Police Department Movie Night. This year, it'll be over at 16th Street Park, a back-to-school movie focus with Despicable Me as the movie shown this year. The event starts at 4:30. The movie starts at 6:30. There'll be snacks, beverages, raffles, and it's all free, thanks to the generosity of various sponsors. So that's Friday, August 2nd. And then Tuesday, August 6th, is National Night Out, a nationwide event devoted to building community at the block level, which is really the root, the origin, the foundation of how you build stronger communities. It's a great way for neighbors to come together and over a beverage, over a snack, be able to make strong connections. It can be as simple as having a few people over in your driveway or in your front yard. Tuesday, August 6th, you can sign up at www.natw.org or just contact Chief Monroe or Police Department and they can set you up as well. And every block party that's set up will have a police cruiser coming by with a cool police department swag as well. So again, Tuesday, August 6th for National Night Out. And then third, with summer concert series, 7 down, 4 to go. We're nearing the tail end of this year's series. It's been a very successful series. Our wonderful community events. We will note that as we look forward to next year, we will have some changes in our horizon with the likely Ramona Park grant that we'll have to do phases 1 and 2 of the park project. The park will likely be under construction next summer and will preclude us from having a concert series at that park. We're looking at different options now, including the potential of having this concert series at 16th Street Park next year, perhaps a slimmer down version of that given some extra costs. Stay tuned on that. We'll be having more information to the Park, Recreation, Beautification Commission and the Council as we try to firm up what next summer looks like. That's all.
Thank you. I have a question regarding the drone program. Would it be appropriate for me to just drop by one of these days to just kind of see what it looks like? It sounds like a really exciting program, but particularly to bring in our youth. And would that be appropriate?
Absolutely. We invite any of the council members to stop by. We are running from 9 a.m. to noon. It'll be at Fairgrove, and any time is a good time. So we can accommodate you, and we'd love to have you and show you exactly what we're doing. Today was day one. It's the first time we've ever done it, and it was very successful.
So. Terrific. Thank you. Okay.
Next generation of firework chasers.
All right, now we'll move on to city attorney reports and comments. City attorney?
Nothing to report, Mayor.
Okay. Well, then, I have a feeling that we have come to the end of this business. Would you care to discuss the closed session? Please.
So prior to announcing, we'll just open up to public comment for the closed session.
Oh. Really? Okay. I have no speaker slips, but would anyone care to come and address the closed session items? Seeing nobody rushing up, okay, now I will close the public comment session and go on back.
Thank you. So item one is conference with legal counsel existing litigation. In name of the case, Grover H2O, Deborah Peterson and Brenda Auer v. City of Grover Beach et al. San Luis Obispo Superior Court case 24CV-0264 pursuant to government code section 54956.9D1. Item two is conference with legal counsel existing litigation. Name of the case is Diane Baker, individually and a successor in interest to James Baker, Laura Baker, and Jennifer Vernalis v. City of Arroyo Grande, City of Grover Beach, County of San Luis Obispo, State of California Caltrans, Form, Design Plus Build, Provident Company, LLC, and Does 1 through 125 inclusive. San Luis Obispo Superior Court case 24CV-0184 pursuant to government code section 54956.9D1. Item three is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to government code section 54957.6. Agency designated representatives, city manager Matthew Bronson and assistant city manager Kristen Erickson. Employee organizations are the Grover Beach Police Officers Association.
Very good. Thank you. All right, then we will now move into closed session. Do we need a break? 5 minutes?